From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Next month, the more than 18,000 soldiers of the Army's 3rd Infantry Division will begin deploying for a second combat tour in Iraq. The Georgia-based 3rd ID will be the first Army division to return to Iraq since the U.S.-led invasion in March of 2003. Over the coming months, we'll be exploring the impact of the war in Iraq in a series of stories called The Span of War.
NPR's Eric Westerveld entered Baghdad with the 3rd ID back in April 2003. During this new deployment, he'll be spending time both with the soldiers in Iraq and with the families back at Fort Stewart. And as he reports, this deployment is likely to be longer and more challenging for all.
Most everything about 1st Sergeant John Campbell shows a soldier readying for war. Tall, muscular, with the ubiquitous Army buzz cut, Campbell recently mothballed his green garb for the desert camouflage he'll wear during his second combat mission in Iraq. His battle gear, Kevlar helmet, and gun are all ready. The Three Little Bears recording is a work in progress.
So she tasted the porridge in a great big bowl. Ouch, it was too hot. She tasted the porridge in a middle-sized bowl. Ooh, it was too cold.
First Sergeant Campbell is in a corner of the hushed library at Fort Stewart, Georgia. He's reading children's books before a small video recorder on a tripod. After 23 years in the military, First Sergeant Campbell's been away from home more times than he cares to count. Desert Storm, Bosnia, and Iraq last year. But this second Iraq mission could be his toughest yet.
It's our first kids and my first kids, and we're pretty excited, but I don't know how to be a dad, so I figured this is a good start.
Campbell's wife, Paula, is pregnant with twins. They're due this spring.
I wish I wouldn't have worn my uniform today because I don't want to scare them or anything, but you know, sooner or later they're going to know that I was a soldier.
A combat-tested soldier with the division's 3-7 cavalry. He hopes the recordings give his kids their first glimpse of their dad when he's half a world away in Iraq.
I just wanted to make sure that they see me, you know, when they come home and my wife brings them home to our house, that they know that, dad is there and they can see dad. And they probably won't recognize it, but hopefully they, you know, they hear my voice. And my wife is going to play this on headphones, and she's been putting it on her belly at night so the babies, you know, can hear in there. And I just want them to know that that I love them and that I'm there for them. And, it, you know, I'll be home and they're safe. And just want them to know that they have a dad, you know, and that I'm around. I'm just not home right now, but I'll be home as soon as I can.
Sergeant Campbell's happy yet anxious about the prospect of twins. He's also nervous for his wife. She's in a high-risk pregnancy. He knows she'll have to endure a great deal, largely on her own.
I came here to Fort Stewart a week before I went to the last war. So I dropped her off, put her in the first house we find. I put her in there and said, okay, I got to go to war. So that was hard on her, you know, and now here I am again doing basically virtually the same thing with, okay, I got to go again, and guess what, you're going to have two kids that you're going to deal with by yourself, you know, so it's tough on her. But, you know, I have a job to do, and she understands that. As hard as it is on her, she understands that.
She understands, but doesn't necessarily like it. Commanders say due to logistics, security, and other concerns, they're less likely this deployment to let soldiers return home on leave for the birth of a child. In Sergeant Campbell's case, it'd be a hard choice to leave temporarily, even if he's offered the chance. As a senior non-commissioned officer with the 3-7 Cav, 135 young soldiers will rely on him for leadership and direction in Iraq. I'm torn, he says. They've put their faith in me to help get them back.
I really want to be there for my wife, and I want to be there for my kids, but I also want to be there for them soldiers to make sure they come home alive and safe. So I'm tossing coins every night in my head trying to figure out. And, you know, ultimately, that's not my decision anyway.
The soldier's life isn't for everyone, Sergeant Campbell says as his voice trails off. As the 3rd Infantry Division readies to leave southeast Georgia for Iraq, the entire region is abuzz with activity. When 18,000-plus soldiers leave town, everyone feels it, from waiters and clerks to cops and dock workers. The giant 950-foot-long Navy cargo ship Dahl sits docked in the port of Savannah. A stream of 70-ton Abrams tanks growl their way up a ramp and down into one of the ship's 7 decks. The Dahl's hold equals the square footage of 8 football fields. Since their last deployment, 3rd ID commanders have added a brigade and entirely restructured the division. The 3rd ID is the first of the Army's 10 active duty divisions to reorganize under Pentagon plans for more agile, faster-moving brigades. These new units of action, as they're called, are designed to be more self-sufficient, quickly deployable, and lighter than traditional brigades. But the continued insurgency has forced the streamlined division to return to Iraq with almost all of its heavy armor and artillery, its big machinery of war that Pentagon officials had thought they wouldn't need 21 months after the 3rd ID raced into Baghdad. Now the division is preparing to finish a mission they thought was largely accomplished when they left Iraq in the late summer of 2003. A changed atmosphere from the last deployment matches the altered makeup of the division. Largely gone is the ready-for-action feel when the 3rd ID left home last time. 24 enlisted soldiers interviewed by NPR described their looming Iraq deployment as something of a task to endure, not an assignment to embrace. Private Jake Hairston is newly married and new to the 3rd Infantry Division's Battalion 164 Armor.
I'm ready to go over there, but I'm just ready to go and get it over with and come back. Just come back alive. It's a long time to be away from your family.
703rd will conduct this mission until relieved by the CENTCOM commander. All right, there's no end date.
In a packed auditorium on base decorated for the holidays, soldiers from the 703rd Support Battalion, their spouses, and a few kids listen to a mandatory pre-deployment briefing.
We anticipate a 12-month deployment, but you know, I'm not going to stand here and say that 12 months from the time that you leave, you'll be back, because we can't say that. It's until the mission's done.
The battalion's commander, Lieutenant Colonel John Haley, gives his part of an Army slideshow. It covers everything from support services for families on the home front to what their base will look like in Iraq.
Bottom line is, go to the next slide, please. That's where we're going. We're going to Baghdad.
At a deployment readiness fair afterwards, Specialist Corey Waits and his wife Alicia pick up booklets from the Red Cross and one from Army Legal Services on how to prepare a will. Alicia wears a dejected look on her face when asked about the deployment briefing.
Really hadn't changed my outlook. I still don't want them to go. But I'm a little bit more comfortable with knowing that there's people that I can contact in emergency situations is really all I'm worried about.
The last time 3rd ID soldiers left for Iraq, it wasn't at all clear if the division would go to war or act as leverage for a political settlement. Some families thought their loved ones might be gone for just a few months. This time, division leaders say they're better prepared to attend to families and manage expectations. Lieutenant Colonel Haley's wife, Jennifer, is a battalion leader for a family readiness group. The Army sees these groups as the backbone of family support. They act as a conduit for timely information about their deployed soldier, help navigate the Army bureaucracy, and provide other services.
I think people are a little more aware of their feelings right now and better prepared, definitely, because we learned a lot from the last deployment. We kind of close in around each other. We take care of each other. We get each other through it. You have your good days and your bad days. Hopefully your close friends are having their good days when you're having your bad days.
The way I see it, I'm just looking forward to going there. I just do the 1 year, get the job done, come back. That's all I'm looking forward to.
For Specialist Ray Batara and his wife Jen, all of this is new. Both natives of the Philippines, Ray became a U.S. citizen just 2 months ago. Jen arrived at Fort Stewart 3 weeks ago, her first time in the U.S. There's little furniture in their on-base apartment. There's no sofa yet. So they sit on a thick blanket on their living room floor.
It's sad that my wife just got here and I'll be deploying. I don't know how we're going to do with this upcoming separation. Pretty sure we're going to deal with it. It's just that my wife's new to everything here. She doesn't have any friends, any relatives. Everybody's like 1,000 miles away. Just worried about all that.
The 27-year-old Army medic with the 703rd says he never imagined he'd become an American soldier. After college, he went to Hawaii to try to get certified as a physical therapist. But money was tight. He ended up working at a local McDonald's. An Army recruiter on lunch break told him he was crazy to apply his college degree bagging burgers. Jen says Ray's decision to join the Army took her aback.
I was really surprised because way back then, we were off.
We broke up then.
Yeah, we broke up for 1 year. So when he came to the Philippines, he told me that I joined the U.S. Army. So what? Why? Yeah, we what's your purpose?
We kept our communication even though we were apart.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I don't know what's his purpose, why he joined the Army. And he told me that it has a lot of good benefits and everything. So I think that's a good opportunity for him.
But the reality of Army life hit even harder when Jen was told that Ray was headed to Iraq for a year.
At first, I was really... I can't accept it. I'm angry. Yeah, but I can't do anything but to accept it. And I have to be prepared for everything. And especially, I'm all alone here. Yeah. So, I just hope and pray that they're being well taken care of in Iraq.
Their blood type goes on the left side of their name, and their battle roster goes on the right side.
In a strip mall shopping center not far from Fort Stewart's main gate, seamstresses at Quality Cleaners are working feverishly to get soldiers' uniforms ready for Iraq. A soldier hands over his desert camos.
Then on this one, I need A positive on this side. You know how this goes.
Seamstress Teresa McCoy is busy at what she describes as a labor of love. She knows full well the uniforms she sews will be on soldiers heading into harm's way.
I think about them tremendously, and I pray for them that the Lord will overshadow them and bring them home safe to us, because they're doing a very important job for us. The families are going through a lot, too. A lot of sacrifices being made.
Have a good day now, ma'am.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye, Baker.
The 3rd ID's mission will be to help establish, quote, a safe and secure Iraq. As one officer put it, we need to work ourselves out of a job over there. But McCoy and her soldier customers here in Hinesville know this isn't likely to be the 3rd ID's last deployment to Iraq. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.
NPR will be following the impact of the 3rd ID's deployment at home and abroad. For pictures from Fort Stewart and previous stories, go to our website, npr.org.